Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I's, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Hello? Okay, so it was just brought to my attention, thankfully Greg is on the line to tell me this, that I was talking to myself. So, it happens. So let's get back to this again. Again, this is Tiffany with Redneck and Eyes Radio, Women of Redneck and Eyes. It is Wednesday, March 15th. It is 45 degrees here in Ohio, and finally the snow that we got the last couple of days has melted, so that's always a good thing, right? Okay, so I have found an article on here that I wanted to talk to you guys about and tell you, because we all love to hate brokers. We had this discussion before, so now that, we got that taken care of, which is good that we hate them, but it's also good that we kind of like them too in a way. But the story that I have to talk to you about is, it says, and this is from Overdrive Magazine, I know I'm going to get hurt. Small fleet owner leads boycott of TQL. Okay, wait a minute. We have a caller, so hold on just a minute. Let me bring you on. Hello, how are you?
Why, hello. I can hear you now.
Yeah, I didn't know I wasn't being heard until Greg said I called in, but... you know you're just talking to yourself, right?
Yeah, I just about ready to send a message out, and I thought, well, no, and then I hear you talking. I went, all right, don't send no message.
And that would have been okay because, I was promptly on at 7, and, of course, things happen. That's how things work. You never know what happens
all
on
right.
The radio. So.
Okay. All right. I'll listen to you. You can mute me again.
All right, Jeff. I'll keep coming back to check and see if you put your hand back up again. So,
okay.
It'll still stay up, but I'll come back and I'll bring you back on after I read this article. How about that?
All right.
We'll be back. Okay. So we'll start over with this article, and it goes like this. Like I said, this is from Overdrive Magazine. And it says, I know I'm going to get hurt. Small fleet owner leads boycott of TQL. And as you guys all know, TQL is definitely one of the bigger brokerages that a lot of companies use. And let me tell you, TQL is miserable to work with. So, okay, Mike Boston has been in trucking for 15 years, the last 5 of which have been in general freight after the transition from the household goods moving segment. He and a business partner own WM On Time Logistics, LLC, based in East Strasburg, Pennsylvania. They own and operate 5 trucks and trailers themselves and currently have 10 owner-operators leased on. Boston started a private Facebook group, Owner-Operators, No Authority, and New Authority, about a year ago with a goal of helping new owner-operators find their footing in the industry. And as of March 14th, the group has grown to nearly 23,000 members. That group is now the headquarters of sorts for a movement demanding better rates and on the spot market, and particularly for large brokerages. That idea took hold in the last few weeks after conversations with a representative from J.B. Hunt's Power Only Carriers program, which Boston said was offering rates too low for him to even move his trucks. An email thread between Boston and a J.B. Hunt rep featuring discussions to that effect was inadvertently sent by the rep to his full carrier list. Many of the unwitting recipients jumped quickly to Boston's defense. One of the carriers reached out to Boston directly with an idea that if carriers boycotted one of these large brokers every day, one at a time, we might be able to get some change with these rates, Boston said. He said he's been trying to do this for years, but he didn't have the platform. That's where Boston's Facebook group came in, which at the time, around the beginning of March, had just shy of 20,000 members. He said, I made a post in the group about our intentions, and we got a lot of positive responses, people telling their stories. He said, particularly about one of the largest brokerages. On March 6th, Boston and his Facebook group began to boycott Total Quality Logistics, which Boston said members of the group himself included had bad experience with. So more than just low rates, stealing money, lowballing loads, charging for repairs to trailers they don't own, things like that. The group also started a boycott of J.B. Hunt's brokerages as of Tuesday, March 14th. Attempts to reach TQL and J.B. Hunt for comment have gone unreturned as of Tuesday afternoon. Boston said his most recent experience with TQL, which helped spur on the effort, was an email from the companies noting they were going to file a claim against my cargo insurance for maintenance on a trailer I borrowed from them for about 4 or 5 days, he said. They hit me with a bill of $1,083, and they told me that they're not going to give me any more loads, and they're going to take the money out of the money that they owe me to pay for the maintenance claim. The claim, Boston said, was for brakes. I said, I only have the trailer for 4 days, he said. They said, yeah, well, you're paying for this. Boston's Facebook group is filled with posts from carriers telling similar stories about being hit with cargo claims and other charges. There's more of us out here together than divided, Boston said. We're setting our intent, and we're not going to stop until TQL closes its doors. That's basically the bottom line, he says. I hope they do that. Boston added that a big source of carriers' issues with brokers is the lack of transparency. Haven't we all said that? Into the financials of the loads. These guys are hiding behind market rates, he said. They are the market. The shipper and the broker are the market. They're in total control of what we're making on these loads. They know what it is in these loads. The shipper and the broker are the only two parties in this three-party transaction that know exactly what is in these loads. And they're hiding those numbers from us, so we don't know what to offer. We know what we want to get, but we don't know what's there. Thus, no power to know when a rate offer is realistic, despite federal rules that allow all freight transaction parties access to all the details. And okay, I'm going to pause the article right there. I'm going to state this. I know when I was looking for loads for Greg and Donnie, there was a lot of times some of these places, they would have the numbers on there. And I'd say, you know what, because it always said, you know, or, you know, this, or place your bid, or, you know, something along those lines. I would say, you know what, and I would sit here with my calculator running numbers, what is feasible for the guys to make per mile to load their trucks. And it was always way more than what they said they had in it. Well, I don't got that much in it. Well, you know, I know you do because you're not, you know, no. You're not running that load for $1,500 and you're taking your percentage out of that. Whether you get 3%, 4%, whatever percentage you get out of that load, they're going to have it up higher because they want to make more money. Because the more money they make, the better off they feel, right? Okay, back to the article. Okay. Besides the basic greed on the part of the brokers, Boston also placed blame on the government for allowing freight brokers to get, quote unquote, out of control. This is a government issue, he said. The government gave them the authority, and when the government gave them their authority, they gave them the authority to rip us off. We don't know what else to do. Okay, the article goes on to, he said, what's happening in the market today feels like a distortion abetted by competitive collusion of a fashion. One broker determines they're only going to offer a low rate and the rest of the brokers fall in behind them. They know what they're doing, Boston said. They're getting together and standing on these rates on purpose. When the big guys do it, the little guys fall in. Boston argued that freight brokerages need to be regulated like Wall Street, stockbrokers were regulated in the 90s after the penny stock pump and dump schemes blew up in the 80s. Unscrupulous stockbrokers at the time used a variety of schemes to perpetrate widespread fraud and abuse by trading in low-priced securities known as penny stocks. The government eventually stepped in on those schemes, with Congress enacting the Penny Stock Reform Act of 1990, which provided the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, with additional rulemaking authority and ability to sanction individuals involved in penny stock fraud and abuse. Since the last time the bottom fell out of the freight spot markets in the early pandemic period of 2020, I think the government has forgotten about the situation in trucking, he added, or they just don't care. We have no control over our income. Yes, we can know our cost per mile. We can know what we want to get paid for a particular load, but none of that means anything if the guy with the load won't give it to you, if you won't do it for what he sets the price for, because they know there's somebody out there will do it. Boston has planned the TQL-related effort to continue through April 6th. Since starting it, he said he's noticed some uptick from TQL in calls to carriers that were previously removed from their system. Email blasts looking for carriers to haul freight and more. Now, I'm going to stop the article there and I'm going to state this. I have gotten emails because when I was doing stuff for Greg and Donnie, we loaded some stuff for TQL. Or checked on loads with TQL. And I've gotten emails from TQL. Now I know why I was getting an uptick in them, and it's because of this year. So that's kind of, it's getting to them, especially when I know for a fact that I've gotten emails from them. And it's like, okay, because we know we don't like TQL, kind of like some of the other brokerages we don't like. So we know they're, taking money here and there off the drivers. We know this. We know the brokers do this. Back to the article. And I know it's a long, drawn-out article, but it's actually some good information. And I'll tell you all why about that in a minute. Okay. This is back to the article. We want to see more than that, he said. We want to see rates come up. If that doesn't happen, we want to see the efforts to the protest. And that's when we may consider slowing it down. If it takes longer than a month, then it takes longer than a month. That Boston said he knows by being front and center of the protests and boycotts, his business is likely to suffer, which we know it will. I know I'm going to lose a lot of business over this. I know I'm going to get hurt, he said. Me and my partner were talking. I know I'm probably destroying us, but I have no choice. TQL has already made it clear they're not doing business with me ever again. I haven't checked my carrier 411 lately, but I know the other ones are probably going to blacklist me too. It was worth it to me, and I'm going to keep going, he says. Boston has also considered the legality of boycotts targeting specific companies, as group boycotts can run afoul of federal antitrust laws. Boston said, however, he and his group feel that we will be on the right side of history. For years, brokers have been lowering rates as a way to steal from us. And we have had enough, he said. We are not forcing anyone to join us. They are all voluntarily choosing to not haul for certain brokers like TQL and J.B. Hunt. As owners, we have to make these choices every day about who we will carry loads for. We will let the American people see what we are going through, and we will let them decide if starving us is fair while mega brokers make millions. And that is the end of the article. Now, like I said, this is on Overdrive, and you can go in there, and there's all kinds of things that will take you into another related stories, on the same talking about the brokers and stuff like that. Now, here are some of the comments that people have posted about this. Okay, this one here is posted by Linnell Hardney. I'm in agreement with everything you said. Every carrier has to stick together, but all I see is writing. Let's do some action, like a 2,000 truck blockage to get the news involved. Let the media send our message as well. What did that get some of these ones just like for, you know, the trucker's convoy? Where'd that get them? All kind of a mess. Okay. Next one is from Napeve 3614. I get paid $5.50 plus per day using my mobile in my part-time. Last month, I got my fourth paycheck of... Okay. Sorry. That is a spam. We're going to go past that one. I'm starting to read a little bit further. It's like, oh, wait a minute. Okay. This is from Rick Landry 35. How about you go out and find your own customers? You are using brokers way too much, and if you cannot exist without them, shut it down and drive for someone else. Seriously, dude? Come on. Good Lord, you want your own businesses, and you are surprised when people are hesitant to just hand you money? The word fair does not exist in a capitalistic society. What you are... Sorry. What you are whining about is pathetic. Stop being a victim. Is that not what you call free enterprise? That brokers are doing? Taking every penny they can? Oh, sorry, this is from Richard Davis. I went right on to reading. Don't Republicans bring that up all the time when they whine about wanting the government to stay out of their businesses? You can't really have it both ways. Either you want the government in your business or you don't. The government does not have the tendency to go overboard, but this is one area they are needed, like the detention problem. They are kind of combined. It's about the safety and the money. You have a minimum wage so people can make a decent living, so why not a minimum rate per mile on freight so people can make a decent living, keeping their equipment up and for safety? That's about the best part of that whole little comment he most was the last. Yeah, there should be a minimum rate. They shouldn't be able to go below this. Okay, this next one is from Roll Zone. Says, hello, boycotting is a big broker. I agree, you are pissing into the wind. Yes, the truck does all the work, takes all the risks, pays all the regulations, operates at or above cost per mile in all weather. I understand there is only limited freight per area at any time. Brokers are unnecessarily evil, like safety teams. Everything is paid out of the same cost to deliver. I do not have a solution, only empathy. When you have to use brokers, it is their game, or loads of fresh air down the highway. Lobbying government is deep pocket surgery. Only major corporations can siphon from profits. The industry is driven by big corporations. It takes special individuals to survive in today's environment. Boycotts do work when there are not other idiots or more needy individuals and waiting to cross the picket. And then they will import whatever they require to maintain their returns and shareholders. Okay, there is multiple comments, and I mean, when I say multiples, I'm scanning through and there's a lot, and I'm not going to read all of them, so pull up the, I forgot where it was from. Overdrive, and look it up. It says, I know I'm going to get hurt. Small fleet owner leads boycott of TQL. So, as I said, we're going to talk about why this is important to me, per se, because Greg and I have discussed it, and we are actually going to look into getting our own authority and me becoming a broker with our own authority. So that has been something I've been looking into. I've gotten a little bit sidetracked here the last couple of days because there's been a lot of stuff going on around here. So I'm trying to get things worked out in order to start the process of really getting into it better. So with that being said, that's, you know, the article. I thought it was pretty good. So let's go to the phones and see what you think it is.
Well, What's going on? I see everything's working good now.
Yep. It is working.
All right. Like that guy's saying, you know, he's going to boycott one broker a day.
That is
a different
what
broker
saying,
each
yeah.
day until yeah. until they get it straightened out.
Yeah.
He can boycott a broker a day for the rest of his remaining days, the remaining life, and he will never, ever get to the end of all these shady brokers.
No, it don't ever happen.
I mean, we know that, you know. I mean, a few of the worst brokers that there is, you know, like TQL. TQL is a big one. And Robbie's listening. He knows. He's dealt with TQL. Anybody in trucking just about has dealt with TQL at one time or another.
Oh, yeah.
Just like T. Paul Robinson, C.H. Robinson. They're one of the worst ones. Robinson has been sued multiple times for shady practice, and they straighten up for a while, and they go right back. It was not too many years ago that the farmers sued them for overcharging them and stuff to move stuff. The farmers done it and beat them, and they straightened up for a while, and they went right back to their normal stuff. Every company that you look at just about anymore has got a brokerage, all right, including these asses that I'm working for right now. I mean, they all do. TQL, C.H. Robinson, Landstar, Snyder, J.B. Hunt, the Warner. The list goes on and on and on. You'll never get to the bottom of them. The only thing that's going to stop that is when they pass a law again, or the government steps in. I know, you know, yes, we don't want more government involved in our industry. But like you said, sometimes you need that. If there's any time that you need it, it's on this particular matter.
Right.
Now, they need to go back like they did in the 70s, 80s. You know, they need to publish the rate on the bills. The freight bills are freight rate. From the customer needs to be published on the freight bills. That way you know what that rate pays. They used to, even in steel hauling for years, when we go into U.S. Steel, Copper Weld, the endless, when you went in to pick up a load, when you got your bills, when you got your freight bills or whatever, they would tell you what it was. Because that rate was published right on the bills, what that load paid per hundredweight for steel. All right? It was right there on the bills. So everybody that hauled out of there, out of U.S. Steel, was hauling that load for the same price. There wasn't,
right.
You know, this company hauling it for this rate. Well, this company, they're getting a little bit of it, but they're hauling it, you know, for more money than what this one is. That's why this company is getting more of it. No, if you had a truck in there and say, I'm in there loading a load, you know, for B-Mac. Robbie's in there for Admiral. And Jeff's in there for whoever he's driving for, okay? When you go in there and you see that truck sitting beside you, you didn't have to wonder what he was hauling it for, because he was hauling that load for the same price that you are. And then deregulation came. And then they started with all these brokers. So the problem is now, as a lot of these foreigners is coming into the country, they're giving them federal grants to get started in business, and they're not paying the right taxes. They're not doing this. They're not doing it. They set up and they run, and they can do it for nothing.
Right.
You know, and it's like everybody wants to. This company right here that I'm working for, they're some of the biggest asses that there is. Because they'll tell you, well, everybody's the same, Robbie. It don't matter who it is. They'll tell you, well, you know, you got to have your truck inspected. You got to have new, you know, good tires. You got to check your brake. You got to have your truck inspected. You got to do this. You got to do that. We want top line equipment. Your equipment's got to be top notch. But yet they pay you cheap ass rates to haul their stuff. Now, if the rates don't, you know, you're not making any money. We just had that conversation here the other day, some of us. When it comes down to a driver feeding his family or maintaining his truck, it's a no-brainer. The man's going to take care of his family first. He's going to feed his family and keep his home He's going to keep a home to live in and feed his family and take care of his family before he, he's going to look at a little shady with that equipment. I'm not saying that that truck's going to be killing people, but the brakes might be a little bit, you know, they might be getting a little thin. Tires might be getting down right down to that bare minimum, you know. But you got companies out here like the one your dad works for, Tiff. They don't want, when your tires get down to 6:30 seconds, they want you to pull them off. Federal law says 4:30 seconds on your steers, 2:30 seconds on your drives, correct? So, according to federal law, it's still legal. But they can tell you as a company wants to dictate to you and say, no, we don't care what the federal law says. You're going to do it this way or else you're not working for us.
Okay,
that's
horseshit. Hold that thought. We got another caller here. Let's bring him on because he's waited long enough. All right, caller, it's all you. What do you got to say?
Greg has. I'm right behind him. I was just looking on Internet Truck Stop on what I have set up for finding a load on my RGN. There is, out of 117 loads, there's 50 of them that I cannot do work for.
Right.
One, they don't have no MC number.
Okay.
They have no MC number. They're too new or they're on credit hold.
Right.
Gotcha.
I can't do, there's 50 loads that I cannot do. And the other ones are, they're just not paying enough. There's too many people that are can go out and go get their own brokerage. I understand what you want to do, Tiff. That's fine.
Right.
But everyone and their brother can go get a brokerage account, which they'll find a load on either Truck Stop or Dad or 123 or whatever road board is out there. Grab the load. I'll find a driver for it. They find a driver for it, and they take their cut out of it as it's gone down to five, six, seven, eight different brokers. There's nothing left for the driver. And the driver has to take all that to take all that responsibility of doing all the work to haul it across the United States.
Exactly.
For how many years that it is against the law. Against the law to double broker loads. But yet these brokers are doing it every day. They're double and triple brokering these loads, and they're getting away with it because there is no oversight to them. Nobody checks on to them. FMCSA worries about the trucks, the ones with the wheels on it. They don't worry about the one sitting behind the desk that's doing the robbing. All right, now, Robbie, I didn't get you called back today because I got my hands on a bunch of stuff earlier, and I apologize. But
it's all
Marie called me earlier. And I told you about that load that she had going up to Montana, right?
Yeah.
All right. This stupid-ass customer that called her uses Penske for a broker. And it's Vaqua Water Treatments or whatever up here in Darlington, PA. Now, this asshole uses this company, and I call them by name because I don't care. They use Penske all the time as their logistics. All right. Well, he told her, if I get along, I'll call you, you know, if I need, he called, he needed a dry van. One day we had a pallet jack. Yep, we can get a pallet jack. The load wasn't real, real heavy, but it was a full load of carbon, basically going up to Montana. Now, it's roughly 1,300 miles up there. All right, the mileage, this was on a round trip. I ran up. Took the load up and brought a load of them coming right back to their plant back here. So it was a round trip. But it's about 1,200 to 1,300 miles or better up there and the same coming back. So you're looking at 2,600 to 2,800 miles, you know, up there and back. You know, 13, 14 up, 13, 14 back. They gave her a rate of like she told him to do it by, for 5,800. I told her, I said, Marie, I'm not going up there. I said, is that one way? She said, no, that's round trip. $5,800 to go to Montana, unload, reload, and come back down here to Darlington, PA. I said, you have, they have got to be some kind of stupid. I said, it's 400 and some miles from right here to Gary. You got another 600-700 miles to Montana, at least. I said, so now you're wanting me to drive, you know, almost 3,000 miles for $5,800. I said, no, I won't do it. He called Penske. Penske told him, what was it, to 68?
65,
whatever it was. That's what Penske gave him a rate on. He told him, no, that was too much money. So he wanted her to do it, wanted us, or me, or, yeah, me, to do it for 53. I said, there ain't no way. I said, I wouldn't do it for 58, Marie. I ain't doing it for 53. I said, they're crazy. I said, they can haul the pickup truck up there. I don't care how they get it there. I said, because he said, well, you know, he told Penske that was too much money. He told us at 53, that's too much money. $5,300 a round trip, go up there and back. Almost three. Time you all said and done, it'd be 26, 2,800 miles somewhere, give or take. Yeah, it was practical miles, she said. But still, for 50-some hundred dollars, I don't think so. So that's
really
kind of nonsense
I just threw it in the calculator just so you know of a number. I did 2,700 miles divided by $5,300. That's not including your cut taken out, your insurance taken out, fuel taken
right.
out. That load is paying $1.96 a mile.
That's right. Less than $2 a mile. Now, when you figure the fuel and everything out of that, now where are you at? You know, because you're looking at almost probably, by the time you go up there and back, you're looking at probably almost $2,000 of fuel.
Just say I went at 75%. That's what majority,
yep.
I would say majority,
yep.
I get for percentage. That's $1.47
right.
a mile. That's not including
right.
taking out fuel. That's not including
that's right.
taking out maintenance. That's not including taking out insurance.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Where are you going? Where are they going with this? Where do they get off on these rates? You know, if that's too much money, then the best thing I can do is let them go buy a truck and buy a trailer, all right, pay the license plate, insurance, hire a driver, pay that driver and his benefits and his taxes and everything and run that load up there and back and then tell me how they make how they do it. Tell me how much money they made on it. You know, it don't
okay.
make any sense.
I just pulled out now fuel out of this. Now we're down to $1 a mile, $1.02. That's not
exactly.
good taking down insurance, and now it's $1,200 for fuel.
Right. But by the time it's all said and done, you're going to be right at around 50 cents a mile, 60 cents a mile.
Pretty much.
No, you can't run a truck like that. You cannot operate. You can't run a truck, even if it was $1 a mile. You cannot run a truck in today's show. Hey, you can't run a truck for $1 a mile.
The truck needs to be making at least $2 a mile. At least.
Yeah,
that's their minimum. That's on a driving.
250 is what
now
I tried to do for that. We would drop down to about 2.25 would be the lowest I would go on a lot of those, and I was booking it for them.
I tell you what,
it costs me 2.25,
you're struggling.
Yeah.
It costs me 2.25, and I'm a specialized trailer. I have to have at least bare minimum $3 a mile for even me to move.
Right.
It don't make a damn to me, Robbie. No disrespect, because I know you got a lot of money in your equipment. I get that. But I'm telling you right now, I don't care what you got. You got brakes, you got tires, and you got wheels on it. And anything out here that's got brake, tires, and wheels and burns diesel fuel has got maintenance. And the maintenance is the same on any of it. You know what I'm saying? And there is nobody out here that can operate on 2, 2.25 a mile and make any kind of a profit. You're not in this game. They're not. That's what I tried to tell Marie today. I said, I'm not in this game to buy, you know, to just to eat. I'm not working to live. I'm living to work. You know, and that's basically what they're doing. They're saying, well, you know, all you got to do is be able to make your household bills, and you just, as long as you got money to eat and pay your bills. No, you got equipment to maintain. You got, you know, yeah, you got your personal bills. You got a vehicle to maintain. You know, you're not in this. You didn't choose to do this to go broke. And I'm not going to do it. I'm going tomorrow right up here to East Palestine. Unity, it's East Palestine address. I'm loading 7,000 pounds, going out to Gary like I always do, 400 miles, pays $1,300. When I get out there, I unload that 7,000 pounds. They're putting 6,000 pounds back on me Friday. And I come right back over here to East Palestine, 400 mile back over here, for $1,300. So I've made $2,600 to drive 800 miles, and them bastards want me to drive 20, you know, almost 3,000 miles for 53. Are you kidding me? Ain't going to happen.
No, I've had one of my agents that I work together. She texted me on two different loads today, asked me what my rate was, and one was up in northern UP Peninsula by, I think it was Primley, Michigan. It was electric truck
right
going down to Arizona. They wanted my rate. I told them 10 grand. I had a 600-mile deadhead, and then down
right
there, loaded, and they said it was 38,000 pounds. Well, I'm loaded
right
going all the way down. They didn't like that idea.
Yeah.
They told me I was too expensive.
Right. Well,
I had another one.
It's an electric truck, you know. It's an electric
truck. I don't give a shit.
Think all the money they can make. Think all the money they can save on fuel if they just put one of their employees in it and let them drive it down there. How long would it take them to get it down there by the time they stop and charge it every 400 or 500 miles?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. No, it's getting stupid here, and I just ain't doing it.
And I just got a phone call today that my insurance for my truck and my trailer just went up $75 from last year. My rate
yeah,
just went up on my
that
insurance.
Why is that? Have you had any claims?
Nope.
No.
National average is why.
Mm-hmm. And that's what she was
average
telling me.
What
she
about
goes,
our national average? How come they got a national average, you know, just like the fuel prices? Well, the national average is $3.30 or $3.35 or even $4. Then why is some of these places still charging $4.80, $5 or $5? Why? Because it's federal, state, and local taxes. You take a lot of them taxes off from these states and drop it down. If the national average cost for fuel is $4. All right, then it should be $4 at every pump clear across this country. Clear across the country for the trucks. But they set the national average, and then the states dictate what they want in taxes. It's not enough that you pay your $22.90s every year. All right, they're paying that. Then you're paying fuel tax at the pump, you know, paying that ridiculous price at the pump for fuel for taxes. And then your IFTA, well, we don't even want to go into that. So where do they get off?
The IFTA, I don't know that portion of it because that's one of the incentives of running my base plate, my tractor plate, through my
right
car.
Me too, but
I get that for free. That's an incentive to running their plate through you. Now, I can run my own plate, whatever state I want to license my truck at, but I'd have to pay my EFTA. That might be a nice chunk every quarter.
Look at this one here. How come you pay, everybody is supposed to pay, they're $2,250 a year for your $2,290, right?
You can't get, if you don't pay it, far as I know, you don't get a plate for the year. So you have to pay that $550 on top of your registration, whatever state that may be. Mine's $2,000 a year.
There's where I'm going.
$2,300
a year for license plate on my truck. All right, through Ohio. Indiana is like 16 or 17. Illinois is the same way. Now, Pennsylvania is even more than that. They're probably 24, 26. I don't know what they are over there now. That people is their own people.
Arizona's
over there.
Arizona's 2,400.
Now, why? Why? Why in the hell should license plates be higher in one state than they are the other? Just like your driver's license. When you go and get your driver's license, when you got that CDL driver's license, that is a federal driver's license, right? A federal driver's license. That is controlled by the federal government, but they let the states, it's issued by the state you live in. My thoughts is when they come out with that CDL, it was a commercial driver's license. It's a federal license. It's in a federal database. Then when they did that, it should have had federal license on the top of it, federal motor carrier driver's license on top of it. Not Ohio,
New
Mexico.
Yeah, I understand where you're going. Federal license. That should be a federal license. A CDL should be
That's
a federal
right.
license. Now, for the guys that fly, go on vacation, get on a plane, some people will not get on a plane, not naming names, but people won't get on an airplane that goes up in the sky, and you can't get on that airplane because you have a CDL. Well, it's a federal ID. Why do we have to have this stupid real ID thing just to get on the plane?
All right. When you get that CDL, you got to have pretty much a clean background, you know, in order to get that driver's license. If you got anything major against you, you can't get a driver's license. All right. Why do you have to have a TWIC card to go onto a port or a maritime port or whatever in your own country? Now, I can see if you cross the border into Mexico or into Canada, okay, I can see having to have a passport to go over there. I get it. But why in the hell, if you go to Florida and go on a port, you go to Texas and go on to one of the ports, or Philadelphia, or wherever you go, Los Angeles, wherever, and you go into a port, you got to have a TWIC card to get onto the port. Why is that driver's license not good enough? You are a U.S. citizen. That property that port is built on is built on U.S. soil. I don't give a damn that Maritime controls it. It is built on U.S. soil. You are a U.S. citizen. It's bullshit.
It is.
My TWIC card expired years ago. I still got it. They've never asked me for it back, but I'd be damned if I renew it because I will not give them another penny. I won't run a toll road. I won't pay them. I won't get a TWIC card again. I won't get hazmat. I will not do it because I am not giving them any more money than I have to. I will not. I refuse to run a toll road. I will drive 150, 200 miles out of route to keep from giving them a dime on that toll road, whether it be Ohio, Pennsylvania. The only one that I will pay once in a while I have to is West Virginia. And that's because it just got too damn hard and too many miles out of the way to avoid 77 down through there.
Right.
But other than that, I will not give them a penny. Kentucky is the only state in this country, that did what they said that what they were supposed to do. When they built the penny row and the purchase and the Bluegrass Parkway, they had tolls on the Bluegrass. They had tolls on the Western Kentucky, the WK Parkway. They had tolls on the penny row. They had tolls on all the toll roads in Kentucky. The deal was with government, soon as that road is paid off, They could pay, they could charge tolls until the highway was paid for. Once the highway was paid for, they had to free that road up to free limited access. The only one that has ever done that is Kentucky. Ohio, every time theirs gets almost paid off, oh, they got to put another lane in. They did it out there around Sandusky because of Cedar Point. Bullshit. Let Cedar Point pay the pay the money to have a four-lane highway, or, you know, a third lane put in across there if the traffic's too bad. All right? Pennsylvania, another one. Soon as, all the money that they get, that toll road's been paid for time and time and time again. But every time they get it, that's why it's constantly under construction. Because as long as it's under construction and they're doing work on it, same way with Ohio, same way with Indiana, as long as it's under construction, it's not paid for, they're still working on it, then they can keep tolls on it. That it's bullshit. People can agree to disagree, but it's there. All you got to do is go back and go back through trucking, years and years of it, and read up, and you'll see what it was supposed to be. I'm just fed up with it. I just refuse to run my truck for nothing.
Yep, that's why I'm still sitting.
I've been here all week. I'm going out tomorrow. I'm loading tomorrow, going out to Gary for Friday, unload, reload, and come back home. So I'll do
roughly, unloaded Friday.
Not quite $3,000 this week. I don't care. I don't care. I'm not. No,
you
I'm not.
You unloaded on Friday, Robbie.
Yep.
Yeah.
Holy mackerel.
I unloaded just north of this little small town, just north of Niles, Michigan. I deadheaded down to Gary. Stayed the night there. Didn't want to stay in Gary too long. I ended up deadheading from Gary all the way over to Rockford to stay at my cousin's for the weekend. He had a trip that he was leaving Monday, so I came down to Rochelle. I've been down here since Monday morning.
Wow.
So it's about 250 miles of deadhead that I've done on my dime.
Yeah. I just can't take it, man. It's just getting on my freaking nerves, man. You see all these companies, it kills me. You turn on Facebook, you get on Facebook, and it's just ad after ad after ad advertising of trucking companies. It don't matter. Every Joe Blow trucking company in the country is wanting trucks. You know, wanting drivers, owner-operators, needing drivers, need trucks. Make 7 to 19,000. Make 10 to 12,000. Make the bullshit. And then when you start, I don't even look at them or read their thing. I go through and look at the comments. And just like me with an older truck, all right, with that 98, I go on there and somewhere down in them comments on just about every one of them, everybody will say, well, what's the age limit on your trucks? And I'll say 70 to 75% of them will say, well, we need a 2018 or newer, all right? And then the ones that ain't, well, it's 2000. It's got to be 2000 or newer. It's got to be ELD compatible. You got to be able to run an E-log. Well, why? Why do you need an E-log? Federal government didn't mandate that for everything. Anything pre-2000 don't need an E-log. All right, so if you need trucks that bad, then the guys that's got older, well-taken-care-of trucks like mine, then throw them a paper log or throw them a tablet like I had for Ace, you know, where it's an e-log, but it's not. You can move somewhere and do whatever. Give them that. If they're not in trouble, check their background. Check their record. If they got a good record, a good background, then why? What's the problem with it? Apparently, they're behaving themselves. They're not in no trouble. They don't have a bad driving record. So why are you going to penalize them for it? But no. Got to have that ELD, you know? Well, okay, well, what do you pay for detention and everything when you get somewhere and they hold you over 4 or 5 hours? What detention pay do you have? Well, if we get detention, then we pass it on to the driver. Yeah, if you get detention. They don't pay detention. Very rarely you get detention. You know, bullshit. My time's worth something. How many of these dispatchers goes into work? How many dispatchers goes into work in the morning? How many work? How many of these dispatchers and shit? These brokers, ask them when you call and talk to somebody in dispatch. Ask your dispatcher, hey, when you come in the morning, do you work the first 2 hours? Do you come in when you come in to start work in the morning? Do you work the first 2 hours for free and then start getting paid for it? Oh, no, I get paid from the time I start. Do I go home? Right. Then why in the hell do we have to give them 2 hours free when you get somewhere and they don't get you unloaded right away? Why do you have to give them the first 2 hours free and then they start paying? No, you sit there for the first, they got 2 hours, and then if they don't start, you know, doing something with you within 2 hours, then you call dispatch, then they start this whole rigmarole, him-hawing around about, well, we're going to try to charge them for detention. Then they don't pay the detention, so you still sit there 2 hours, if not 4 or 5 hours. Even Walmart has been as high as 7 or 8 hours. For what? Or a grocery warehouse, 7, 8 hours. For what? For nothing. That's time off of you. That's time off of you that you're not getting paid for. But they go in that office, they get paid for every minute that they're there. But you don't. Now, how's that right? Somebody explain that to me.
I can't.
Nobody can. Nobody can. You ask a dispatcher and they say, well, I don't know. I just work here. Yeah, uh-huh. That's right. Just like Ace, when I was there, had the dispatcher out there in Illinois tell us, well, if you have a problem with this, that was dispatching, try to set it up or get it straightened up before the weekend, because when we go home on the weekend, we don't like to be bothered on our personal time at home. When we're at home, that's our personal time. We don't like to be bothered at home on our personal time. Tiff, did Chuck not say that?
Yes, he did, and I thought it was crazy when he said it. I was kind of flabbergasted. Like, seriously?
He said it. We don't like to be bothered. When we go home on the weekends with our family, that's our personal time, and we don't really like to be bothered on our personal time at home when we're with our family. Well, you son of a bitch, what about all the drivers that you've got that's out here busting their ass to make your money, to pay your bills, so you can live that cushy life at home with your family on your personal time while they're sitting out here doing jack shit on the weekend because something's screwed up, but you don't want to be bothered. You chose to do that job just like I chose to do mine. So if I've got a problem on the weekend, then I'm going to make it your problem too.
Or the tables are turned too, is when a dispatcher, you're on home time, and you told me you'd be ready Wednesday, and they want you to come out Monday.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're interrupting my home time that I'm at home.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly. It's like I tell them, you know, you guys come in there in the morning, and I've told numerous ones that, I've told Hurley that. I said, you guys expect us to stay out here for a month at a time. Okay, all right. Now, but when you go to work in the morning, you come in that office, you know, of course, they're 24/7s, but they work in shifts out there. That's fine. But they come in, they do their 8 hours or 10 hours, whatever they do, and then they go home. When their shift's done, they don't care. Boom, they shut their computer down, close out of it, sign out, whatever. They hit the car and they go home. So every night they got home time. They go home after work, like a 9-to-5 job. They go home, they eat dinner in their dining room table. They sleep in their bed. They take a shower at their shower. They sit in their living room and watch TV, whatever. They go out to eat with their family, their kids, their grandkids, whatever. They get up the next morning. They get their coffee, take their shower, go to work. They drive into work, they work their shift, and they go home, and they do it all over again. I told them one day, I said, you know what I do while you're, when you're working during the day, I'm driving. And you know what I'm doing at night while you're sitting at home? If I'm not driving, I'm sitting in a damn truck staring out the windshield while you're at home with your family. In the summertime when it's nice out and they're out in their backyard having barbecues with the family and friends and drinking their beer and doing whatever and living it up, guess where we're at? When we're not driving, we're sitting there. How many times you ride down the road in the summertime and say, look at this shit. People out in the damn backyard grilling, you know, having cookouts, out on the lake with their boats, fishing, whatever. Where are you at? Sitting in that truck, holding that steering wheel, going down the road. Oh, I'm making the money. I'm making the company money. Bullshit. It ain't fair to nobody. It's hooray for me, hell with you. Do as I say, not as I do. Well, no, I'm done with all that. It's just like lumpers. Anybody that pays for a lumper now, they're a damn fool. They are a damn fool. And I've said it, and I'll say it again, whether it's on the radio or not. It started years and years ago back beginning of trucking because some asshole pulled in somewhere and said, well, I need to get empty. Well, you know, it's going to be a while. Well, I tell you what, I'll go ahead and unload my own truck just so I can get out of here faster. Okay. You know what? The guys that did that, if they ain't dead already, or if they are, they need to dig them up and kick them in the nutsack if they still got one. Because it's bullshit, because that's where it all started. And now the lumpers is a business. It used to be when you pulled in somewhere to get a lumper, you had four or five guys, a bum off the street. Didn't matter. He'd come up and say, hey, you need some help unloading your truck? Yeah, what do you charge? Well, I'll do it for $35, $40. I'll unload it for you. Okay. You know, go ahead. Because he was working trying to make a living. Now you pull in there, them damn lumpers, it's a business. Them guys are getting paid by a company that's got a lumper service. And I said, well, no, go in there and tell them, well, I'm going to unload my own truck. Oh, no, you're not allowed out on the dock. Well, what the hell? You ain't got no option. You either pay them or you don't get empty. Well, you know, that's racketeering. They can't do that. They're not allowed to do that. But they do. They do. So that's when I tell them, you either pay the lumper or you don't get it. You don't get your shit because I'm not paying to unload your stuff.
Back when I first started driving, I had a lumper fee. It was down in L.A. It was $500 for them to unload half the trailer because I had another stop.
Tiff and I took a load of fire logs and wax fire logs. It was like, what was it? I think it was like 10 or 12 pallets of them. Wasn't very much.
Right.
Took it down to Orlando, Florida. Wax fire logs down to Orlando. I'm thinking it was Orlando. Down there to a Albertsons or something. I don't know where the hell it was. It was a grocery warehouse or whatever. But anyhow, we took them down there. $300 for a straight pull-off. No breakdown, a straight pull-off. And they wanted $300 to unload that. Oh, we went around and around. I forget who the broker was on that. We knew for a long time.
That was when we were with Great Wide.
Yes. And I absolutely went nuts. Well, Tiff didn't know because she'd never heard full drive in before. She didn't have any idea how that lumper and pallets and shit worked, you know. And I went ballistic. And Tiff just said, what are you doing? I said, no, we're not paying it. You know, I'm not paying it out of my pocket. Well, we finally went through it. And through Great Wide raised hell, and they got a hold of the broker. The broker ended up giving Great Wide issued us the comp check to pay for it, and the broker paid Great Wide, but it didn't come out of my pocket because I told him, I said, I will not pay for a broker out of my pocket or pay for a lumper out of my pocket out for this load. Oh, it was a big deal. They was pissed off. That's probably one reason I ain't working there now. They probably all the bad shit I did there, but I mean, because I'd fight and argue with them. You know, it's nonsense. I ain't doing it. There's no sense in the way this industry's running. They got all these rules and regulations on the trucks and the trucking companies, but there's none on these brokers and stuff because there are so many brokers. All they're worried about is IRS. You know, they're wanting to put all these IRS agents out there you know, start investigating you, you know, and your taxes, looking at your taxes, prove that you're cheating. Why don't they take these 87,000 people that they wanted to hire, which they didn't, but the 87,000 that they wanted to put on the IRS, why don't they take that 87,000 and put them in as auditors and send them out here after these damn freight brokers and start walking into their offices and their houses, because a lot of them work out of their house, and send them in there and say, now, open your books. We want to see your books. We want to see what you're doing. And start investigating that a little bit, get some transparency, and find out what they're doing and see how bad they're beating the trucking industry on these rates and shit. And a lot of this nonsense would stop. If they would do that and then start coming in and checking all these, you would see a lot of these brokers, a lot of these fly-by-night brokers, so you'd see them fold up overnight. They'd be gone. Boom. There would be nobody exists. They would just be gone. They'd disappear like cat. They'd disappear faster than Casper the Ghost. Boy, you wouldn't find them anywhere. But there's no oversight on them. So what do you do? You know, what do you do? I mean, we sit there and argue, and everybody said, well, we need to do this, and we need to do that. Every year, it's coming. Just watch. I'll bet within the next couple of 3 months, if that long, they're going to call for this big nationwide shutdown, slow roll, truck strike. It happens every year. Every year. Just like that trucker's convoy. All right, yes, they meant well, but they had nobody. That turned out to be a shit show because nobody knew what the hell it was doing. All it was a bunch of money, and a lot of people got screwed, including the ones that got it the worst was the general public. The ones that looked up to the trucking industry during that pandemic was all this bullshit with this freedom, whatever that they was going for and everything. The people in this country stood behind us and looked up to us truck drivers like we was gods, all right? And we was supposed to help them. You know, we was doing something great because we had the power to do it. What did they do? They shit on the American people. The ones that we needed behind us is the ones that got shit on. And then they wonder why they're getting cut off out there, getting flipped off. Why the general public out here don't want anything to do with the trucks? Like, they look at us like we're a piece of shit. That's why, right there. Because you got guys that went out and took them people in this country for a pile of money and just disappeared. It's over with. Where did all that money go? Nobody has ever said or ever had any transparency as to where all that money was spent, where it all went. Somebody made off with a bunch of money, just like them banks done, just like the automakers, like everybody else done. Grab the money and go. Nobody knows. Nobody's heard anything. In the meantime, the people that was backing us, the general public, in the cars and the four-wheeler stuff that backed us and rode with them guys back and forth across this country because they looked up to us as what we were trying to do. Well, not what we, me, or you, whatever, but the ones that was in that and was trying to make it sound like it was all that, the chocolate cake, now they're all gone. Now they're fighting amongst themselves. I can name names. I won't. I know. We knew a lot of them that was in there. We knew the leaders, the organizers of it, I should say. And I'm here to tell you, I'm not saying anything good about them. I'm not saying anything bad about them. I'm just saying that there was a lot of shit, a lot of things that should have been transparent that wasn't. And people have asked questions. And there was no answers, and there still to this day is no answers. Now, that is nonsense. And they're the same, and that's this industry now that's sitting wanting transparency from these brokers and shit. But they can't give transparency to what they did. So don't ask somebody else for something that you can't provide on your own. It's nonsense. It's nonsense. It's like these truck shows. It's a shit show. That's what they are, shit shows. They go to these truck shows. Everybody gets along. They're like, it's like a big brotherhood. Everybody gets along at all. How you doing? As soon as that show's over with, they hit the roads. As soon as they get back out on the highways, everybody is out screwing everybody else. Everybody's out screwing that, flipping you off, cussing you out. You can't get out of Louisville down there. When you go to the show, I'll guarantee you, when that lot starts emptying out, before you get out to 71 or out onto the water center, that I'll guarantee you that there's at least two or three, four or five trucks. Them guys are in an argument with each other. Now, they're the same ones that was just bellied up with each other with your arms around each other. Hey, buddy, how you doing? Been nice to see you. So you hit the street, you no good son of a bitch. And they're back at it again. And that's the way it's been. That's the way it's always going to be, and nothing's going to change. It's sad, but it's the truth. You know, all these companies down there are everywhere. They promise you the sun and the stars. Come to work with us. We treat you like family. You're not just a number. You're a name here. You're like family here. Yeah. All at the same time, they're sitting there shaking your hand, and they're doing a reach around trying to put their hand in your back pocket. You know, trying to screw you. No, I ain't got time for that no more. All right, I'll shut up. I sent you a call in because this happens every time, but it is what it is. I've been in it too long for me to get on here like this.
All righty.
So
then.
I'm going to mute myself.
Jeez, nothing like mute yourself in the middle of a conversation. All righty then. Okay, so it is 20 after 8. That was a fast hour. The only other thing I wanted to talk about, then I'm going to just kind of call this quits because I just, honestly, I'm good. I just read on here on CDL Life, on I-94 near Fargo, it's closed for a hazmat semi-truck crash. The North Dakota Department of Transportation has closed both directions of I-94 until further notice for a truck crash involving hazmat. The crash occurred on the afternoon of Wednesday, March 15th, in the Fargo area. NDOT says that there was an incident involving trucks carrying hazardous materials. Images captured at the scene appear to show a crashed tanker truck and a heavy vehicle fire. And that's exactly what it looks like. It looks like it doesn't, the picture that I'm looking at has a tanker. The tanker's not on fire, but the cab's all, or the hood's all crashed up on it. But there is another truck sitting there or something sitting there. So it says it isn't clear whether anyone was hurt. I-94 is closed eastbound and westbound between Castleton and West Fargo. Traffic is being detoured to North Dakota Highway 10. This is a developing story, and follow NDOT on Twitter for most up-to-date information on road closures. Okay, so that was one of the things I found about the weather type issues and stuff like that. And I'm assuming because of all the snow, I'm assuming that is why they crashed. Okay, we were talking about brokers when we got completely onto the Greg soapbox. So here is another story that I found on Overdrive. This is kind of the same thing like you guys were talking about the double brokers and all that other stuff. This is a Mexico-based double broker sentenced to prison. Tijuana resident sentenced in double broker identity theft scheme. On February 24th, the U.S. District Court of for the Southern District of California sentenced Alex Castillo Padilla of Tijuana, Mexico, to 30 months in prison, 3 years of supervised release, $239,000, basically $240,000 in restitution and $400 for special assessment. I wonder what that is for. On October 6, 2022, Costello pleaded guilty to four counts of wire fraud related to double broker scheme. According to the Department of Transportation's Office of Inspector General, an investigation revealed that from around 2015 until October of 2017, Costello led a double broker scheme in which he stole the identity of an interstate carrier and agreed to make deliveries using the company's stolen identity. Rather than delivering the loads, Costello posed as a shipper and re-brokered the same loads to other carriers who delivered the freight. Costello, he wasn't done there, collected the payments for the completed deliveries, but did not, and I repeat, did not pay the carriers who actually delivered the loads. What an asshat. All right, so that is basically the end of that story. Okay, here's another one. This was kind of, I mean, gotta love California, but all right. So California court reverses AB 5 for Uber drivers, but not for truck drivers. The California State Appeals Court on Monday upheld a ballot measure allowing apps like Uber and Lyft to treat their drivers as independent contractors rather than employees. The court found the ballot measure, known as Proposition 22, actually was constitutional, but did strike down a part of the proposition that limited gig workers' ability to organize and join unions. Uber and Lyft celebrated the victory in court, and their stock prices shot up a few points each on the news. California voters backed Prop 22 in November of 2020 when it won nearly 60% of the votes in California. Prop 22 exempted app-based drivers from AB 5, meaning they could continue to work as independent contractors. Meanwhile, the California Trucking Association still seeks an injunction against the AB 5 in the lower courts. The appeals court's recent ruling has no bearing or benefit for the trucking industry. California's deadline to respond to the challenge has been extended to March 29th. So, do you guys want to hear it? Well, I was going to say, do you want to hear about a Mac? Because we're going to go to about 8:30 and then we're going to call it a night because I just, it's just one of those nights. Okay. Where's it at? There it is. Mac accepting calendar submissions. So if you own a Mac, you can be in the Mac calendar. Okay. Mac Trucks is launching its Mac calendar contest for 2024. The contest is an opportunity for Mac customers to show off their Mac pride online and a chosen be featured in the 2024 calendar. Mac customers can submit photos of their trucks to be included in the voting. For the first time, video submissions will also be accepted. Mac fans will be able to vote for their favorite submission on a contest website. The entries that receive the most votes in each category will be featured for 1 month in the 2024 Mac calendar, earning glory and bragging rights with their peers. The entry period of the contest runs from March 15th through April 15th. While the online voting runs from April 1st through April 30th, voters are allowed to vote once daily for their choice. This calendar contest is a fun way for Mac owners and operators to show what makes the connection with the Mac brand so special. So David Galbraith, Mac Vice President of Global Brand and Marketing. The passion and attachment they have to Mac trucks is remarkable and demonstrates why this company remains so important to the trucking industry 123 years after its founding. In addition to newly accepted video entries, several other enhancements have been added to this year to the entry and voting procedures. Video entries submitted along with a truck photo will receive 100 bonus votes. To celebrate Mac's sponsorship of the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, any photo entry of a truck with a dog will receive 100 bonus entries. Video entries that include a dog will net 175 bonus votes. Bonus vote days, Mac's social media channels will post special promotions where daily votes could count for double or even triple points. All entries are eligible to be promoted to Mac's 600,000 plus followers across its social channels. The contest is only open to trucks in revenue operation. That is, trucks currently working and not collector or antique vehicles. The voting categories are aligned with Mac truck models, Mac Anthem, Granite, Terra Pro, Mac LR, Mac MD, and Pinnacle, plus a legacy category for models no longer in production but still in revenue operation. Full contest and procedures are found on the contest websites. Winners will be announced in early May, and Mac Trucks will schedule a professional photo shoot for each winning entry of the calendar. I think that's pretty cool. I mean, I hate the fact that you can't just take some of the old ones and do pictures of, but I understand it. So, okay.
Because it's being controlled by Volvo.
Shush. There is, okay, I found, oh, come on. Okay, one more article here that I just ran across, only because the picture caught my attention. Okay, trucking's bloodbath a year later. How some owner ops hold the line. All right. That was the headline in April 2022, with fuel prices spiking to previously unseen highs and spot rates pulling back as a pandemic sugar high began to wear off and the headache was setting in. A year later, the bloodbath label remains subjective, but we're getting some hard data. Owner-operators' income in 2022 took a hit, nearly 10% across the board. In fact, looking at the averages for ATBS clientele, lease flatbed haulers saw the worst category drop in ATBS accounting, with nearly $16,000 in income gone on average gone to 2021. The lease dry van and reefer haulers gave up about $5,000. Independent across trailer segments dropped about $7,000 average. Some of that lost income owes to fewer miles driven, but the rest traces back to the 1-2 punch of soaring costs like diesel and repairs and sinking rates. Fuel's wild ride over the last year played a big part for many, while evident in the chart below showing the highest of highs last summer and this year's slight declines at least through mid-February. Okay, the highest rate in fuel was, of course, April, July, and October. Okay, asked about the drops in owner-operator's income, independent owner-operator Patrick Mashburn didn't blink. He suggested he's seen declines double or triple as bad as reported averages. Mashburn, who owns both a step deck and a reefer, said he made a lot of money in 2021 but is struggling to make ends meet a year into the worst fuel crunch on record. This year, I don't know if these brokers are thinking reefers run on air, but I'm seeing them set reefer rates like their dry van rates, he says. I've even seen dry van rates better than reefer rates. They want you to take a frozen load for $1.20 a mile. On paper, Mashburn is doing a lot right. He's getting a good fuel discount with a fuel card from the National Association of Small Trucking Companies, doing his best to build relationships with brokers like C.H. Robinson, Coyote, and J.B. Hunt, among others, and staying on top of quite a few load boards, including those of DAT, Truck Stop and Trucker Tools, which is, you know, a sponsor of Redneck and I's. But in practice, he's a few months from having to lease on with someone. He added, if nothing changes or things get worse, Mashburn isn't alone. And his troubles are shared by untold thousands. A closer look at the economic picture might not offer many hope, but there are certainly counterexamples that could suggest a way forward through maximum efficiency and excellence in customer management and specialization. So, with all of us being in some sort of different part of the trucking industry, you know, we have the flat, we have the van, Robbie, you with the step deck, I don't see anything changing with any of us all the way around. Freight's not changing. There's definitely not bringing up, you know, any type of increase in the freight rates. Fuel is, yes, it is.
No, they're going down. They keep going down.
Yep. Usually when fuel goes down, that's when the rates come up a little bit, but I think the rates are dropping as fast as the fuel is. Maybe not even quite as fast as the fuel, or faster than the fuel, I should say.
No, it's dropping faster than the fuel.
Yeah. It's just, it's crazy. And the more I read through some of these articles and stuff, and it's like, wow. And it's sad because there's going to be a lot of people. I remember back, probably in the early 90s. I was still in high school. And there was a lot of owner-operators in this area that you started seeing their trucks down here at Hills where they were turning them back in because everything was just so bad. Nobody could, you know, make ends meet. And they were actually either, you know, coming to take their trucks, and it was just easier to just take them and say, here, and not have them search for them. And the bad thing is, that's not far-fetched now. The way the rates and everything's going, it's, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that's going to be turning stuff in. And then you got the peanut gallery that just wants to, you know, bark things from the kitchen.
You take your old junk and get rid of it. Just go down and buy a new one. And then it's 6 days, and if, you know, 2 or 3 months when you're back on payments, you just, then they can go and repo a new one instead of your old one.
Yeah. So, it's not going to be good for anybody.
I don't know how these new guys with these new trucks are doing it right now.
They're not.
You know, people can hear you if you unmute yourself.
No, they're not.
You might as well just unmute yourself. I can still hear you.
Can you hear him?
Yeah, I can hear him.
Wow. See, I told you you had a big mouth.
He does.
All right, I'm unmuted. But yeah, Robbie, they're not making it. These guys going out with these new trucks. That's why, you know, I don't want to say I told you so, but was I not one that told you when you was talking about, you know, your truck being older and whatever, getting another one? I said, don't keep the one you got. It's paid off. Keep it because the bottom's going to fall out, and you don't have to worry about the repo man coming after it. Did I not tell you that?
That you did. You're right.
Ain't
at
you
least once
did?
In your life.
I'm not, I might not know everything, but I seen this coming. I've been in it too many years. I saw it coming. And now you don't have to worry about it. You can take your truck home and park it. You don't have to worry about it. All you got to worry about is your trailer and that truck. They ain't nobody going to take that truck.
Nope.
He's chasing a cat right now.
I'm going to kill your cat. Namely Annie.
What's she doing, chasing
she
a little miss?
Well, of course. Sorry. I just hit her in the ass with a ball when she went in the bedroom. I'm too old to chase her. But yeah, I don't know how these guys are doing it now. These guys going out and buying these new trucks. Thank God Jeff's got his paid off. Because I don't know how in the hell now with the rates the way they are and the way they're dropping, I don't know how in the hell these guys is making $2,000-$4,000 truck payments a month. I honestly, God, don't know how they're doing it. They're not going home, I'll guarantee you that. They're living in them trucks.
You got to be.
And these guys saying, well, you just don't know how to run your business. You know, you're just, if you're hauling that cheap stuff, then it's your own fault. Let me tell you something. They're not going to pay you if you say, well, I ain't hauling it. I'm getting $3 a mile. If there's somebody out there, these guys that's out there working it, whether it's their own freight or not, and they're working, they got their own customer, and that customer is paying them, you know, $4,000 to take a load, you know, Say from here to Chicago. Whatever. All right. Do you think that customer is actually going to pay them that kind of a rate when he can get somebody to do it for half of that or less than half of that? He don't give a damn how good that guy is, what his truck looks like, how shiny it is, how pretty it is. He don't care. As long as that truck is worthy and he can get that freight there, in the same time or whatever as that other guy, the one that calls it the cheapest is going to get the load. I don't care if it's your customer or not. Yeah, you might get a customer here and there that'll keep you regardless. But for the most part, these customer shippers and stuff, they're all looking for the cheapest transportation that they can find to get that load there. And that's it. That's all there is to it.
Are you sure that's all there is to it? I said, are you sure that's all there is to it?
Well, I'm just saying.
Aren't you always?
Hey, what happened to Jeff? I thought Jeff was listening.
Nah, he fell off a while ago.
Oh.
It's just a normal Robbie and Greg show.
My figures.
Now, I have a, my cousin, I set everything up through Admiral and for me to haul his equipment around. And there's another guy I found out last time I was home that another guy is doing it cheaper than me.
That's what I'm saying. It don't matter what kind of service you can give them, Robbie. The one that's cheap, it used to be all you had to offer them was service. If you could guarantee them good service, Johnny on the spot, you got to work.
Hey, he doesn't know how I do shit either because he hasn't used me. He's just worried about that bottom dollar.
Exactly.
Oh, he's too expensive.
I'm
never going to use him.
Money. The cheapest one's going to get it. They don't give a damn what kind of equipment you got. They don't care how good you are. They don't care. As long as they can get that stuff there and it's in good shape when it gets there, and the cheapest one to do it is the one that's going to get the work. And that's just the way it is.
That and I got vehicles falling apart at home, too.
Uh-oh, that's never good.
Nope. Penny's car, her car has some louvers in the freaking grill.
Oh, you ain't figured that out yet?
Right. Uh-huh?
You ain't figured that problem out yet?
No, waiting on parts is supposed to be here Saturday. So the front bumper's off of that thing over at my brother-in-law's house. And then I guess the starter of my pickup just went. And then what else? I mean, that's it for now. And then I'm not making any money.
Right.
That's the worst part about all of it.
Yep, that it is. I need someone to come buy this RTN. I need someone to buy my trailer.
Yeah, I wish I could, Robbie. If I had to work for it, I would. Unfortunately, she's got a lot of this heavy stuff, but that trailer is just a little bit too light for what she's wanting to do with it, too. So I don't think that thing is like $80,000 putting 10, 12 foot of it.
Probably not.
That's what I'm saying.
You'd be at right at the limits there.
Oh, I ain't worried about my growth. I'm worried about the trailer.
I would be worried about the trailer, too.
Yeah.
I've had 58 on it.
I said I've had 62 in about 62 in the middle of my flatbed. It held it good, but it was scary in my mind. You know, it's hard on the nerves.
Yeah. Unless Joe Blow would come by this thing. Go find me another cheap flatbed again.
Yep.
I like the RGN freight when I'm moving, but
it's the fact that sitting around.
Oh, I've done so much sitting. That's why I stayed at home so long. I'm going to go broke. I'm going to go sit at home. Now I'm 1,500 miles away from home. Now I can't do nothing.
Hey,
not driving all the way home.
You're not as far away from your second home.
Yeah, I know. I should have just went over there this weekend instead of going over here.
See? There you go.
Oh, we found it. We found a new place to eat, Robbie.
Sitting in Gary, it was shorter. It was 93 miles to my cousin's house versus, 350 to your place.
Yeah,
right.
Pretty close to 400.
But the other day, Robbie, we found a really good barbecue place up here.
Oh, man, is it good.
I saw that on Facebook that it was a little far from the house, though.
Not really.
By the map, it looked like it was north like Akron or something like that.
No. It wasn't right up there.
Into Girard. It was almost a Girard, basically.
No. It was in Austintown. Yeah, just south of Austintown. It's Austintown, so it was up between Boardman and Austintown. It was a nice place.
Oh,
it wasn't that far. Maybe
20-some
miles.
It seemed like for the post that I saw, I was like, man, that's far just to go have barbecue. Shit. Did you get thirsty there or?
No, I went up there to get them. No, I went up there to get them wheels. I found a couple wheels from my trailer off a guy up there, and I went up there.
How much did you get them for?
$100 a piece.
Did you get me four?
Two of them, and he's got three more than I'm getting this week, so that'll give me five. Two more for the outside and then a spare. But, yeah, I got them for $100 a piece, and he's got three more. I got to pick them up Saturday.
Oh, okay. That works.
So they was pretty nasty looking. I had to clean one of them up. Huh?
Are they decent anyways?
They're not bad. They're not great, but they're not bad. They're all right for a 95 trailer. They're all right. They'll clean up. I acided them. And I had to wash one of them off with gas today because it was an inside wheel, and
no,
he must have blew a wheel seal or something. And over time, you know, the grease and it was black and thick. And I washed it off with gas and scrubbed it. And I brought it over here and brightened the shit out of it down here at the house with brightener. And It don't look too bad now. They need polish now, but other than that, they look all right. I'll do
oh,
the
that's
other
fun.
Two
that'll
this
give
weekend.
You something to do tomorrow, sitting in the garage there.
No, tomorrow I got to go to work.
Oh.
And Friday, I'll be back in Friday, and then, I don't know, Saturday I was going to do some of them, but I don't know what the weather's going to be like. Friday, it's going to rain all day.
Hmm.
50-some degrees and rain all day. So Saturday, I'll be at Saturday morning. I don't know. I'll see what's going on Saturday. I'd like to get them finished up Saturday. And I got to go up there and get them Saturday. And then
I almost saw my fucking trailer that I sold. I saw Max Light and then had a fucking box and the lumber underneath where I put it. And then it kept rolling and then the two boxes were gone. Then I looked at the tail. No, that ain't my old trailer, but it was the same kind of freaking truck that was pulling it when I sold it. I've been looking for that thing. I wonder if how many wheel posts he's done. Yeah, my old trailer. I am always paying attention. I wonder how many wheel posts he's put in that thing so far.
You'll probably never see it again.
Probably not.
Wait a minute. We thought that about a white truck, too.
Yeah, and that thing turned up like a bad dream.
Right?
I missed that flatbed.
Yeah, well, I didn't miss that truck.
No,
I still
that's
don't
one,
miss that
one trailer
truck.
That I, being stupid, sold it.
It happens.
That was a good trailer. I got it for a good price, and I made a lot of money with that trailer.
Well, hopefully things will turn around or something.
I'm almost tempted to go trade this. Go find a place that has a flatbed, a brand new one, and trade this RGN off on it.
Mm-hmm. Probably still spend
$50,000-$60,000, but I'm gonna get one that has a lift axle, an air ride lift axle. I'm gonna get every freaking bell and whistle on that trailer, though.
You do. You better figure on about $70,000 to $80,000.
Probably.
They're big money. What I said, man. Freight rates the way they are. How in the hell are
the
these guys affording all these pay that the cost of everything, you know, is going up, you know, trailers and everything, prices and everything. Ain't none of the prices on none of this equipment's going down, but the rates is dropping. They're going up and rates is coming down. How in the hell can you justify that?
Getting decent freight out of Phoenix with my flatbed. It'd get me out. It was something to get me out. Now it's a struggle to get out right now.
Hmm.
And I want to go home, but I don't.
Right.
I'm going to get my taxes done. I'm going to get my sticker for my plate.
I hear you.
But everyone wants me to drive for under $2 a mile to get there.
By the size of it.
Wait a minute, Robbie will be getting it here in a minute too.
What? You'll see it in a minute. She said it to you too.
I sent it to Donnie
phone just
too.
Lit up, so. Oh shit. Fuck. I'm scared to open this thing. Scared.
I'm ready to put mine back on. If I can't make any money, at least I can raise a lot of hell.
Might as well look good sitting at home and on top of that hill or in a truck stop. But then
again,
you don't sit that long in a truck stop. Looking good.
I don't know. I have been here lately. I've been doing a lot of sitting lately.
Yeah, you're not the only one. I've sat more than I've been working.
You know what's pissing me off? When I'm 35 miles from home and I got to sit from 6 o'clock in the evening, you know, 5, 6 o'clock in the evening to, you know, 6, 7, 8 o'clock the next morning to unload just because I can't. I don't want to spend the fuel to come home and then drive back to Youngstown. That's what pisses me off.
Yep. I totally understand. It's just like me down in Eloy. I've done that a couple times where
yep.
Either my logbook or I just can't keep going. Can't go to the house. It's not worth even dropping the trailer or even taking the load home.
Right. I've done it I don't know how many times. Load out of Gary, coming to Youngstown. Time my load over there and get over here. I can't make it time to unload it that day. So I go, I either drag it all the way down here to the house and then, you know, 40 miles back up there the next morning or just sit up there in Girard from 7 o'clock in the evening until 7 o'clock, 7:30 next morning before I can unload the scrapyard and then come home. You know, that'd be 70 or 80 miles down here and back up. But it just, I can't, you know, I mean, you make decent money coming back, but at the time you spend the fuel to come home and everything and everything's cold, now you get up in the morning, you got to warm the truck back up and everything, you know, the truck's all right, we might as well stay up here.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just disgusted with it. It's just, I said, everything we talk about, just like that deal with them brokers and stuff, it's not going to, I don't see it ever going to change. You know,
you can protest one broker a day, and there's so many new brokers every day. It's just like anybody getting their own authority. Everyone can get their own authority. And within 30 days, you can have your own authority. It don't matter who you are. They don't care.
No. But they can protest them brokers all they want to, but they'll never live long enough. They can do one a day for the rest of his life. He'll never get them all.
No, there's so many. It's not even fun. Well, just look at there was what 50 brokers that I couldn't do work for.
Right.
There was one in there. Well, they had about 10 loads posted on it, and I think it was the same load posted twice, posted multiple times. On one broker, and they didn't have a broker or what was it, MC number, and there's another number on it that was, it said NA, not available.
Huh.
Or it's COD, I can't do either.
Wow.
Now, if I had my own authority, yeah, I could do COD, and then I know
right.
I'll get paid at the end. And not have
yeah,
to wait
they
30
got,
days
they
or 60
gotta give,
days.
They got to give you the money for it before they get the load.
Oh, yeah. I won't even – it'll stay on my trailer until they hand me my check.
Check my ass.
No, where's cash?
That's right. Be cash. I ain't taking your check. Because once you take a check from them, they hand you a check, you give them their freight, and then you go to the bank and find out the check ain't no good. Now they've already got their freight, and you got a bad check.
Yep. That's one reason why I thought about it, getting my own authority, and that's that and not being paid for 60, 90 days. Shit,
that's
I don't even know what I did last week, let alone 60, 90 days ago.
What does COD mean? Cash on delivery.
Yes, cash
right.
on delivery.
Cash on delivery, not check on delivery. Cash
right.
on delivery. That's what I want, cash. I'm gonna be like a crack dealer. I want an envelope with some cash in it when I give you your shit.
Fuck, I want a briefcase full of cash when I get there.
That's right.
And a briefcase is just an added bonus. That's my tip.
Yep. I got to say, Robbie, I apologize for not calling you back earlier. I went out there, got that roller, got it loaded, brought it back, and we unloaded it, and I got busy cleaning that wheel up over there and washing it down with gas, and then we got talking.
You got sidetracked on something.
Yeah, I went and looked at a trailer and some other stuff, and then Tiff come over, and she come over here, and I brought them wheels over, and I got the acid and brightening them up and cleaning them up down here, and I just forgot all about it. I told Tiff when we come up to eat dinner, I said, man, I forgot to call Robbie. I said, I got to give him a call. By very night, she said she had a radio show. I said, well, you'll probably call in. I'll just talk to him tonight.
Yeah, I totally spaced it in the last two nights. No, I called in Monday, and there was no, it said it was scheduled for in 24 hours.
Robbie, I just looking on Big Rig by selling trade. They got a new, never used 2023 Benson 48102 all aluminum. FET has already been paid $60,000 in Jackson, Georgia.
That's fine. They pay off my fucking loan, and I'll get a loan for that one. The only thing that scares me on that is the interest rate on it.
Right, right.
I don't want, my credit's so good that I shouldn't be paying, anything over 7%.
Right.
I got awesome
credit.
And
they just hiked it again yesterday, I think.
Really?
I think they just hiked the interest rate again yesterday because of all that shit with them banks.
I think I saw a Fontaine. No, was it a Fontaine? No, it was another Rittenhauer. It was a Maximizer. It had a lift axle. I think it was a 22, 48102. And I think they wanted right around 60 for it.
Wow. I guess I'm going to put another set of wheels on mine and run mine till the wheels fall off of it again. Because I can't afford another one right now.
No. It's
just like that drive van today. That bullshit they pulled with that drive van. Wanted me to take that load up. I said, North Dakota. I said, you're crazier than hell.
No, I didn't.
$5,300 to go almost 3,000 miles, 2,600 miles. You got to be crazy. You're some kind of stupid. You're special.
Then they wanted to do it for you to do it for cheaper. You're too expensive. Yeah, well, no, my truck's expensive to run. It's not cheap.
That's right. So like I said, if they thought that was too expensive, then go buy a truck and a trailer and buy your insurance and your license and, you pay your taxes on it and everything, hire a driver. Then you got to pay his benefits and everything, his wages and everything. And run it, and then see how much money you make off of that.
No, I'm sitting on $250,000 worth of equipment here.
That's right. That's the way it is, the shippers. If you think that's too much money, don't tell me how cheap something is until you walk in our shoes. So you pay our bills, and you own a truck, and you know what it pays, you know what it costs to run a truck. Don't tell me that I'm too expensive.
I got a house at home. I got a life, not this truck.
Right. Exactly. It don't matter.
I might as well change my address to this Petro in Rochelle, Illinois. I need to find out the mailing address.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's tough. All right, well, I'm going to let her sign off here. I'm going to get off here and see what we do next, I guess.
Yeah, I'm going to go inside and eat dinner.
All right,
Robbie.
I don't
feel like cooking anything tonight. I'm going to go make them make me dinner.
All right, I'll talk to you sometime tomorrow.
Actually, this iron skillet in Rochelle has a buffet.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, it has a buffet.
Don't tell everybody. I'll shut it down tomorrow.
Yeah. They got a salad bar and a buffet line. And I'm surprised it's still an iron skillet, not an IHOP.
Yeah, probably. Probably be Burger King or Turkey Chicken tomorrow.
Yeah, probably. All right, man.
All right. All right, I'll talk.
All right. We'll talk to you guys later.
All right, later.
Night, Robbie.
Later. Good night.
Okay, so that brings us to the end of the show. It was very entertaining. A lot of information. So, again, this is Tiffany with Redneck and Eyes Radio, Women of Redneck and Eyes, and we are signing off tonight at 9:01 p.m. on March 15th. And we went from 45 degrees when we first came on down to 39, so temperature's dropping out there. So with that being said, y'all stay safe, and we'll see you again this time next week, Wednesday, and always and every weeknight at 7 p.m., give or take. Some nights we're not on, but as always, remember, we will be done with our radio show on March 27th. But always keep an eye out on our Facebook page because you never know. Things may change. We may pop back up somewhere. So, y'all take it easy. Be safe. And if the job still has to get done, you know what you got to do. You got to redneckinize.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneckinize was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a redneckinize.